We thank you. We thank you because, Lord, today is a day of testifying of your goodness in our lives. Lord, before we go into that, we want to exhort ourselves from your word. Daddy, please speak to us in the name of Jesus. Let your name and your name alone be glorified in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So we started a series on the life of Jonah. And in the first part, we titled that first part, Here I Am, Send Him. And last week, we talked about the power of repentance. But today, we're going to kind of go away from that just a little bit. We're still in the general topic, but we're going to go a little differently today. Today is Thanksgiving, Testimony Sunday. This is a day in our church that we have devoted to just telling of the goodness and the kindness of God in our lives. It's a time for us to share about the wonderful things that God has done in our lives. Can I tell you something this morning? You see, if God has delivered you from something and you refuse to testify about that thing, I'm telling you, it is almost wicked. Because there's somebody else going through what you have been through that needs to hear your testimony and know that when if God can deliver you, he can do it for me. Why? Because we know God is not selfish. God is not a respecter of persons. God is not partial, is the word I was looking for. God is not partial. He's a faithful God. Whatever he has done for A is able to do for B. If B is able to meet the requirements. You know, so today we'll be talking on what I have titled Stewardship, Maximizing Your Potential. Stewardship, Maximizing Your Potential. You can pull up the PowerPoint now. Stewardship, Maximizing Your Potential. And today I will talk to us about two acronyms. One is SPACE and two is SHAPE. One is SPACE and the other is SHAPE. I will start by asking two questions, but the questions are pretty much the same. The first question I want to ask you this morning is, have you thought or asked yourself, why was the Bible written? Or what is the purpose of the Bible? Why was it written? What's the purpose? Why did God give us the Bible? Can I tell you something? Adam didn't have a Bible. Enoch did not have a Bible. Abraham wished they had a Bible. Praise the Lord. Moses did not have a Bible. All of these guys, they walked with God without what we have, the Holy Bible. Praise the Lord. But the Lord has been gracious unto us. He has given us the Holy Bible. And it is very important that we ask ourselves the reason why. Because in answering that question, we'll be able to get the full benefits of what the Bible is supposed to represent in our lives. I want us to open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, it reads, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That is telling you about the source of the Bible. It's telling you God himself is the source of the Bible. So when I pick up the Bible and I begin to read, it is important for you and I to know that I'm reading a letter written to me by God himself. It says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine. That is telling us about the value. It's telling us it's valuable, it is profitable. The scripture is profitable for doctrine. And for three things, it says, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God indeed is the source of the Bible. The words of the Bible are the words of God. And the Bible is a profitable book of doctrine for you and I. So the purpose is stated in that verse that we just read. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. It says, number one, the Bible is good for reproof. For reproof, what is a reproof? A reproof is criticism for a fault. It means when I read my Bible, I can see a mirror image of my life in the Bible, and the Bible can begin to speak to me and tell me you are wrong and you are at fault. So the Bible is for what? Reproof. The Bible is for reproof. Reproof is to rebuke. The Bible actually says open rebuke is better than secret love. Praise the Lord. Let me know exactly how you feel about me. And God has not hidden his feelings about you and I. He has written them very clearly in the Bible. Number two, it says the Bible is good for correction. For correction. Correction is something offered or substituted for a mistake or fault. You know, so when you have done something and you are wrong, they give you the alternative to that wrong thing that you have done. So the Bible reveals to you how you can make right the wrong of your life. It is important that you and I spend time in the Bible. You see, many people don't read the Bible. Many people, the last time they had anything from the scriptures was last Sunday. So I'm listening to Christian radio channels, you know, and in the radio, they had some text read back to them. But friends, until you spend quality time in the Bible, seeking the face of the Lord and the mind of the Lord, you will not know what it says about you. Amen. The Bible, the world that we live in today, there's an enormous, unbelievable increase in biblical illiteracy. Even though Bible is more readily available to us, there's biblical illiteracy everywhere. As a matter of fact, not just from the pew, even from the pulpit. From the pulpit today, what you get the most, for the most part, is psychology and philosophy. You can hear a sermon, somebody can preach for 40 good minutes, and there's not one text of scripture. They're just telling stories of this, of that. And because the modern man's mind is attuned to that, people are excited about that. No, people are no longer interested in what is God saying. What is the text saying? Is how does it make me feel? So we have a generation today that is more focused on feelings than rebuke, than correction, than doing the right thing. What is the right thing? How should I live? What is the expectation of God of me? So the Bible is for correction. Number three, the Bible is for instruction. What is an instruction? An instruction is a directive. It's an order. It's a command. So when I read the Bible, I'm looking for what is the Bible instructing me to do. When I pick up my Bible and I read, and it says, thou will do the work of an evangelist. That's an instruction. It's telling me how I ought to live my life. Not how I want to feel. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Good feelings is good. I like to feel good. I don't want to feel sad. I want to feel good about myself, about what I'm doing, about my wife, about my family. I want to feel good. But friends, my greatest pleasure is to pleasure God. The thing that gives me the greatest pleasure is to know that God is happy with me. Hallelujah. But many people today are seeking for God to make them happy. So number three is instruction. So when I read the Bible is written for reproof, for correction, for instruction. And number four, the Bible is also written for our example. For our example. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6. It said, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So there's a clear one in here. It's saying, The things that you have read from the scripture, they were actually put there for you to learn from. So when I see how the love of strange women almost destroyed the kingdom of Solomon, actually did, because the Bible says those strange women, they took his heart away from his God. And because of the sin of Solomon, when Rehoboam showed up on the scene, Rehoboam showed up defeated. There was nothing he could do because the kingdom was already settled. God said, I would reserve just two tribes because of your father David. Amen. And because of your father David, I will not allow it to happen in your own time. You know, so that's an example not to follow. So when we read and we see examples in scripture, we're looking for examples to follow and examples not to follow. Now, praise the Lord. The Bible said concerning King Manasseh, it said King Manasseh was more wicked than the heathen. He was more wicked than unbelievers. I pray that that will not be our story in the name of Jesus. That they will begin to compare us with people that really are outside and clearly outside of the will of God for their lives. And they are saying, we are worse than God forbid it. It's actually unthinkable. It's unthinkable. Praise the Lord. So, it says, now these things were written and they were examples for us. It means the things that are written here, when you read that text, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's talking about the documented evidence of the exodus of the children of Israel. How they strove with God. How they murmured against God. How they disbelieved God. How they could not trust God to get them from point A to point B, even though there were obvious mercies of God in their lives. The Bible tells us that in the 40 years they were in the wilderness, their sandals did not wear. Sometimes when I look at my shoe, I'm like, Lord, what kind of foot do I have or feet? You know, that is causing shoes to wrinkle. You know, but their shoes didn't wrinkle. Everything was straight up. You know, they were living the life. Their clothes, they did not become obese. They didn't get too fat. They didn't get too thin. Everything was just okay. He took care of them. He gave them manna, freshly bread from heaven. He gave to them on a daily basis. And when they complained, he gave them quails. He gave them meat, barbecue, roasted in the kitchen of heaven. Praise the Lord. He took care of them, but yet they didn't believe him. He says, learn from that. That's an example not to follow. We must be able to reflect upon our lives. And when we do that, it is amazing how much of the goodness of the Lord you will discover in your life. My wife and I, as we were driving to Houston yesterday, we began to talk. And in not too long, guess what? We began to give thanks. Because everything else that we can focus on that we want, that we don't have, it is nothing compared to everything else that we already have that we had prayed for. I praise the Lord. So we said it is fitting and proper for us to just give thanks. Knowing that the God that did this is able to do that. Praise the Lord. So there is example. Four things we have talked about. Number one is reproof. Number two, correction. Number three, instruction. Number four, example. So let's look at the first acronym, SPACE. And we're going to consider five things there. I've shared this with us before, but it bears repetition. Because some of us, the reason we don't read the Bible is not because we don't want to. But when we read the Bible, it seems abstract to us. It's very abstract. You are really not sure what to make of it. But I want to advise you today, when you read the Bible, bear these five things in mind. Number one, in space, the S is seen to confess. So when you are reading a text, you must ask yourself, is this text convicting me of a sin that I need to repent of? Amen? For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, love does not hold grudges. Love does not keep an account of evil that is done against it. You know, and suddenly you remember that you are still very upset with Sister Irene for what she did to you the last time. The Lord that brought that to your remembrance, at that point in time, he brought it to your remembrance for a purpose. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord brings that to your remembrance, it means there's something you need to repent of. There's a sin that you must confess of bearing a grudge and unforgiveness in your heart. Praise the Lord. And this might be maybe more relevant to husband and wife. You know, you don't really settle. You know, events just overtake themselves and then you just move on. You know, and then later on, you remember what had happened, and you are still bitter about it. You are still upset about it. God is saying you must confess that sin and repent of it. Praise the Lord. So number two thing there is P. So you read something, and it is a promise to you. The Bible says, I will be head and not the tail. Amen. I will be on top and not beneath. That's a promise. So when I read a scripture that says that to me, guess what? I begin to claim that promise for myself. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Psalm 5 verse 12. Psalm 5 verse 12. The Bible says God will bless the righteous. If you qualify as the righteous man, then you put your name there. That God will bless Adekoye Sonny and surround him round about with favor as with a shield. Friends, it's not like I love myself too much. It's just that you have to receive the blessing for yourself, you know, before people tell you, oh, healer, heal yourself. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says God will bless the righteous. We just prayed now Psalm 67 and verse 6. It says, the earth will yield its increase unto you, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. That's a prop. God is giving you a guarantee. So when you read, you say, okay, is there a promise for me to claim? And A is attitude or actions to adopt or to avoid. Praise the Lord. When you read about, the Bible says, it shall be ill with the wicked. It says the wicked is running when no man is pursuing. Then I must ask myself, in the sight of God, am I a wicked person? So if my attitude is an attitude of wickedness, then when I read a scripture like that, it must remind me to change my ways very quickly, because you know that it shall not be well with the wicked. I'm not cursing anybody. I'm just quoting scripture. It says, it shall not be well with the wicked, and the wicked will be running. He will be running. No more. Nothing is pursuing, but he's running. It means the wicked will not never be at rest. That's what the scripture is saying. So if I find wickedness in myself, he's saying, I must change that attitude. I must change it. I must not be the one that is putting a wall and a barrier between relationship and friend, because I want him to be my friend and I don't want him to be her friend. So I begin to tell him about her, that this is what she said about you. And then he doesn't bother to check the facts with her. He just begins to have another. No bueno. No, not good. Not good. Not good. C is commands to obey. Commands to obey. The Bible says, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind. That is a commandment from God. He said, you will love your neighbor as thyself. That is a commandment. Love is not a choice. It's a command. I praise the Lord. He said, oh, he's so unlovable. That's because you think you have an option. Is it true? That is because you think God is suggesting to you to love. God is not suggesting to you to love. It is a command. Look at your neighbor. Say, I love you. With the love of God. You have to clear that. Because don't be saying you love another man's wife like that. Some people lost some teeth because of that. Boom. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a command. Love is a command. Forgiveness is not a choice. It is a command. The Bible says no root of bitterness must be found in us. Every unforgiveness we must deal with. You know what? Many people are suffering today because of unforgiveness. So we're looking at space. The first one, S, is sin to confess. P, promises to claim. A, attitudes or actions to adopt or avoid. And C is commands to obey. And E is examples to follow. Friends, I want to encourage you today. Find godly examples to follow. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. King Hezekiah had a wicked father. If he followed the example of his father, he would have ended up in a terrible place. Praise the Lord. When you see an authority figure in your life that does not represent God, that is not an example for you to follow. It could be a boss at work. It could be a parent. It could even be a spiritual leader, a pastor. When you see an example, you say, ah, no. I know this is, that is not a good example for you to follow. Amen. So when I read the scripture, I'm asking myself, what is this saying to me? Is this saying there's something here? Is there an example here for me to do? For example, you take Solomon. The Bible says Solomon, when he was made king, he said, Lord, he prayed. He said, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. But before he prayed for wisdom, what did he do? The Bible says he sacrificed 1,000 bulls in one day. Just think about it. Think about it. For some of us that grew up in Africa, you know, when the Muslims are having their holiday festival, you know, and they kill the ram and they burn it up live, you know, not the whole thing, just the skin, you know, you imagine how much smoke comes from one. Imagine that times 1,000. Man, God couldn't see through the smoke. He said, who is doing that? He said, it's Solomon. He said, ah, that's a man I should bless. Let me visit him. So he went to Solomon and said, you have done so well today. What do you want? He said, I want wisdom. I said, okay, you got it. And in addition to the wisdom, I'm going to give you wealth. Nobody before or after you will compare to you in wealth. And God kept his word. You know, so we look for examples to follow. Very quickly, let's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. What this is saying to us is, this is an example for us to follow. It's an example for us to follow. This is the older prophet writing to the young prophet. The senior apostle is writing to the young pastor. And he's saying to him, he says, Timothy, watch in all things. Be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. You see, it's an S. He didn't say endure affliction. Afflictions will arise in many different areas. But endure it. Learn to endure. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. Listen, there's four things there that he's saying to him. Example to follow. He said the number one example to follow is be watchful in everything. You see, there's the people of Laish. They're called the people of Laish in the scripture. The Bible says when I believe it was the children of Dan, when they wanted to take possession of their land, the Bible says they got there and they found out that these people were very relaxed. They were just chilling. They were not watchful. They were not careful. They said, oh, we found a place where the people are just relaxed. They are very, very nonchalant about their lives. Guess what? They came and took over their land. When you are not watchful, you can lose that precious thing that God has given to you. You know, there is a ministry that is upon everyone's life. Every born-again believer is a minister before God. Let me repeat myself. Every born-again believer is a minister before God. You know why? The Bible says when he ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto all men. He gave everybody a gift. And that gift that he has given you, he expects you to do ministry with that gift. So every one of us is a minister. So he's saying to you, as a minister of God, he said, be watchful. Be watchful. Watch out for the kind of friends you hang out with. Watch out for those that you call your friend. Why? Because the Bible tells us that evil communication corrupts good manners. Number two thing that you must see there, it said you must learn to endure afflictions. Friends, I hate to burst our bubble, but this is scripture. Do you believe that? Do you believe this is scripture? Or this was just written to Timothy? It doesn't, you know? Many of us believe today that we must live, that our life, there can't be any difficulty. And if there's a challenge, you'll be like, oh, no. The enemy is not the enemy. It's not the enemy. Gold, for gold to come out shining on the other side, it goes through fire. It goes through fire. For diamond to come out the way it comes out shining, it goes through pressure. He said, we must learn to endure afflictions. And then it goes, last time you told anybody about Christ. When was the last time you told anybody that this is where I was, but this is where I am right now? Thank you, Jesus. That is what it is. To tell others and share about the good that God has done in your life. When was the last time you did that? Praise the Lord. Or are we saying God has not been good? Are we saying our salvation is trivial? Are we saying our salvation is not worth anything significant? He said, "Watch, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry." Friends, you have a ministry. There is a gift of God that is upon your life. How are you using that gift? The body of Christ is only complete when all the gifts come together and functioning in full capacity. It is possible for you to look around and say, oh, I wish they do this in this church. I wish they do that in this church. I wish this church is like that. I wish this. You know the reason why you're able to see some of those things? Because that is where you're gifted. Praise the Lord. A lot of people don't have an ear for music. So when the choir is goofing off, you don't know. You know, you just say, oh, that was beautiful. No, they missed a note. Somebody went off key. But because it's not anything you are passionate about, you don't have an ear for it, you don't know. You are just dancing. Oh, it was a powerful. No. But when you are able to pick it, it's because you have a gifting in that area. So a lot of times the things you criticize are the things that God has called you to fix. He said, make full proof of your ministry. Not of my ministry, but of your ministry. So if there's anything... What happened to my glasses? I praise the Lord. If there's anything that the Lord has gifted you with that is lying dormant now, the Lord is saying... Pull it up. Very quickly, I've taken way too much time. Let's look at shape. Let's look at shape. In shape, the S in shape is spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 that I just mentioned, it said, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Everybody has a gift. There is nobody in the body of Christ that does not have a gift. At least that is not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that as he ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto all men. Somebody say, I'm gifted. Maybe you need to look at yourself differently from today. I say, I'm gifted. Say it again. I'm gifted. I'm special. There's something about me that is very unique to me. I'm not trying to be you. I can't be you. Can you imagine I want to go, when we get to heaven? I can't do it. That's why Sapphire is there. She does it. But praise the Lord. And when she's doing it, the way I'm dancing and singing, you think I'm not at that level, but I'm doing my own thing. The God that gave me the voice is enjoying my voice. I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. You should do the same too. Hallelujah. Amen. So number one is spiritual gift. Every one of us is gifted. Every one of us has a gift. Number two is heart. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which he is given to us. Listen to me. The church, like this church, as we're seated right now, the church is like a toolbox. In a typical toolbox, where you begin to take out the tools in the toolbox, they look different. You see any two people looking alike? No, we're all different. In the toolbox, the tools are different. And guess what? The function of each tool is also different. They come in various shapes and sizes. You have some short, you have some tall. You have some slim, you have some. It's different sizes of tools. I praise the Lord. And in our hearts, the Bible says God has shed his love abroad in our hearts. You see, if every one of us will live out what is in us, this world will be a better place to live in. Great love that is in the heart, that God has endowed the heart with. And A there is for abilities. You have great potentials. You have great abilities that we are allowing to waste away. That is why somebody said that one of the most, the one of the richest places in the world is the cemetery. Why? Because there are great potentials buried there. Great potential, unrealized potential, untapped potential. I pray in the name of Jesus that as the Lord leads, the Lord will activate every potential. In the mighty name of Jesus, every dormant potential will begin to move from today. In the mighty name of Jesus, you have ability. You are capable. You are capable. I don't want you to look down on yourself. You, somebody say, I am capable. Do you know for years I ran from being a pastor? I told you last week. Sometimes I still think about it. I'm like, maybe I still made a mistake being a pastor. Sometimes. Sometimes. But God has helped us almost 11 years now. 11 years and counting. And in the 11 years God has helped us, we have planted 8 other churches or 7 other churches and counting. Friends, you are capable. You have abilities, you have resources inside of you that is just begging for expression. Do you know when they are drilling for oil? When they are drilling for oil, for very rich wells, when they are drilling, when they drill and they hit oil, you know what happens? It gushes. You see the oil. It means the oil has been waiting to come out, but it was buried. The potential, the abilities of God inside of you is like that rich well that is begging. The day you drill it and you make a hole and it begins to flow, the world will say, we have never seen it like this before. If only you will give God a chance in your life, in the name of Jesus. P, personality. We all have different, varying personalities. I'm so different from my wife. My wife is so different from me. My wife laughs, smiles, and she's happy for the family. So when something exciting is happening and I'm not responding, she says, don't worry. I'm the one that is, I do the excitement for the family. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Friends, the great personality God has given you is not for sin. You know, some guys, you know, you have this ability to speak. You know, and you think that ability to speak is to toast ladies. And have, they don't use toast anymore. What do you use? To spin? Tell me. Keep me current. To spin? To woo. No, woo is Bible English. It's more ancient than toast. But you know what I'm saying. They think their gift, their ability to speak is to get ladies. No. God gave you that ability to make a case for the gospel, to save souls. Use your personality to the glory of God. Use what you have to honor and glorify God in your life. Not a man, in your life. So that when God looks down from heaven, he knows his resource in your life is not a waste. Praise the Lord. And finally, experience. Friends, this is a very serious one. It's a very serious one. And I'll share what I mean here with you. A lot of us have had certain unique experiences in life. And God has pulled you through that experience. But you are too ashamed to talk about that experience. But what you don't know is that there is someone going through the same thing right now. If only they can hear your story, they will know not to do what they are doing right now. The experience that God took you through is not just for you. A few years ago, we did a sermon series called The Nature of Adversity. Why? What is the purpose of adversity in our lives? One of the reasons God allows adversity in the life of a believer is so that you can use that experience to help somebody else. So today is testimony day, for example, but you have experienced certain things that God has delivered you from. You ought to share. You ought to let the church know. You ought to let others know that if you are going through this, there is hope for you. Why? Because I went through it and God delivered me. I did. I went through it and God saved me. If I tell you my story, I told you before, if I tell you my story, I hope Pastor is really, really, really born again now. Because I went through a lot. I had many years of struggle. Many years. I gave my life to Christ in 1988. Some of you were not born then. But that's okay. And that journey took me through many different bumps and hoops and mountain and valley and all kinds of things. I fall, I come, I rise up, I fall. In fact, in our church back then, I'm sure they were wondering about me because every altar call I come out. Friends, there was no shame in my game. You know why? I was focused on making it as a believer. I didn't care what anybody thought. I would say to myself, I must get this thing right. I must get it right. Then after Sunday, 2-3 days, I'm walking well, I'm living fine. Then by Wednesday, I fall again. And then I go to church on Sunday. It's one of the reasons some people don't come to church. Because they know when they come, something will touch them. They say, I don't want to go home sad every day. I went every Sunday. I didn't miss church. So when I go and they begin to touch, and then they make the altar call. Guess what? Help me, Jesus. You may laugh now, but see what God has done. Praise the Lord. I was so focused on making it. It didn't matter to me what anybody else think or what they thought. I didn't care. I just wanted to be right with God. And every time I fell, I didn't go back and say, okay, no, it's not okay to live in sin. No, it's not okay for me to live in sin. It's only okay for me to glorify God in my life. Share your experiences. Glorify God with your experience. Please rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Is there any sin you ought to confess? Please bow your heads. Bow your heads. Anything you ought to confess, please confess. Talk to the Lord. You are not telling God what He doesn't know already. Amen. You are not giving God any new information. He knows. It's just that He wants you to acknowledge that you know that you're wrong. He wants you to not justify yourself, but to say, Lord, I apologize. I'm sorry. He's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He will forgive. He will save. He will deliver. Bow your hearts, please. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Just talk to the Lord. This is between you and God. Remember what I told you about myself. I was always so focused on God every Sunday when I went to church. It did not matter to me what somebody behind me, beside me was doing, or the people behind me. I was focused on making it. Friends, there is a definite end to all things. Everything that has a beginning has an end. There is an end to my life. There is an end to your life. Make sure you're ready for that eternal journey. Make sure you're ready to go and face the Master at the end of your journey in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here today who say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Christ, or I want to rededicate my life to Christ? I only have about a minute or so left. Please come forward quickly. I'd like to join hands with you. I'd like to pray with you. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I have two gentlemen coming forward. Anybody else? Say, I want to make it right. I don't want to play games. I'm tired of games. I want the real deal. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Lokere, please go with them to the room and pray with them in the welcome room. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord bless you, sir. There's one more. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. Jehovah, we praise you. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the honor. We give you all of the adoration in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving souls. Thank you for touching our hearts. Thank you for changing our minds. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. You may please.